Welcome to Kitchen Window, NPR's food podcast. I'm Bonnie Wolf. Christmas means cookies. We'll not only tell you why, but how. We have recipes, tips, and wrapping suggestions. We'll also offer some recipes for Hanukkah. So let's dig in. Susan Russo is a food writer in San Diego. She publishes stories, recipes, and photos on her cooking blog, Food Blogga. She has written about her Christmas cookie baking tradition for NPR's Kitchen Window Online. She joins me today from San Diego. Hi, Susan.
Hi, Bonnie.
I definitely want to be on your Christmas list after reading this piece.
I'll have to keep that in mind then.
Wow. Just briefly, tell me, did you and your mother really bake 2,000 cookies?
Yes, we really did. That is not an exaggeration. You know, I was writing about baking cookies with my mom last year on my blog, and I called her up, and I said, Mom, you know, how many cookies did we make? And we started naming all of the different cookies we would make and how many batches and how many trays we would give out, and it really was about 2,000 cookies every year. It was crazy. We were like the crazy cookie ladies. I mean, everybody we knew got a tray of cookies from us, from family and coworkers to the paper boy, and even the dry cleaning guy got a tray of cookies.
And these are the same cookies every year?
Mostly the same. I mean, we had the same core cookies in our family. It was always Italian biscotti and pizzella.
No, what are pizzella?
Pizzella are Italian cookies that are... they look like waffles, and you make them in a special iron with a mold, and they come out looking like a flower, and you usually flavor them with anise. And that's something that my family has been eating from as long as I can remember. My grandmother was the first one who started baking them.
Your family is Italian, right?
Yeah, we're Italian-American.
So a lot of the cookies are Italian?
A lot of the cookies are Italian, but we also did a lot of basic American cookies as well, like peanut butter balls and chocolate crinkles and snowballs and Hello Dolly cookie bars.
What are Hello Dolly cookie bars?
You might know them as magic bars.
Have nope.
you heard of those?
No.
No?
I've lived a sheltered life.
You've got to make Hello Dolly cookie bars. They are so fun and so easy to make. They're basically a layer bar cookie, and it's layers of sweetened condensed milk and coconut and chocolate chips and nuts, and everything just gets poured into a pan and baked. And then you just cut them into bars. And they are so popular. There's nobody I've ever met that's eaten a Hello Dolly that hasn't loved it and asked for the recipe.
Tell me about some of the Italian cookies.
Have you ever eaten pignoli cookies?
Yes. But
oh, those are wonderful.
Describe them for those who haven't had the experience.
Okay. These are wonderful and easy to make cookies. They're made with almond paste, which is this wonderfully thick, nutty, fragrant paste. And you just mix it with some egg whites and pignoli nuts, which are just pine nuts, which you can find in the general supermarket pretty much anywhere you live. They're very easy to whip together. I actually have a recipe on my blog for it if you're interested. And you form them into circles, bake them for a few minutes, and when they come out, they're rather crisp on the outside. And when you bite into them, they're soft and chewy on the inside, and they're just chock full of these toasty pine nuts. They're absolutely wonderful with a cup of coffee or even a glass of sweet wine.
They are delicious. I was in an Italian bakery this weekend in New Jersey and got pignoli cookies and wonderful biscotti. And I wanted to ask you why these biscotti were so good. They were really hard, not too hard that you couldn't bite into them, but
yes.
Just wonderful. How did they do that?
Well, you know, I use my mom's recipe, which she's been using for years and years, and I think there are a couple of tricks to good biscotti. One is you don't want to have a batter that's too wet. It should be pretty dry, and she loads hers with nuts. She probably puts an extra cup or cup and a half of nuts more than most recipes call for.
What kind of nuts does she use?
Almonds. And once you get that dough together and you roll them out and you bake them, you want to make sure that you bake the biscotti just till they're golden on top. It usually takes about 40 minutes, and then you want to make sure that you let them rest on the counter before you slice them. If you try to slice the biscotti too quickly, they'll crumble and they'll fall apart on you.
We should tell people that biscotti are cook twice. So this is the first
yes.
baking, right?
Right. So what you do is, after you slice them, then you put them back on the baking sheet. And you can do one of two things. You can either put them back in a heated oven for about 10 to 20 minutes. That's where the twice baking comes in. Or you can do like my mom does. She turns the temperature of the oven off completely, puts the sliced cookies back on the cookie trays, and then leaves them in the oven. Anywhere from 30 minutes to 60 minutes. And the longer you leave them in the oven, the harder the texture will become. And that helps if you don't want a jaw-breakingly hard biscotti. You know, if you want one that, like you said, that you had where it's firm and it's crunchy, but it's not too hard that it actually hurts to bite into.
You don't like them when they're soft, like spongy, which some are.
Oh, I don't like a spongy biscotti at all.
Yeah, that's terrible.
No, it's terrible. And you can't dunk them in a coffee that way either.
Why are cookies such a Christmas tradition?
Well, cookies have been primarily associated with Christmas because of German traditions. It's believed that the first true Christmas cookie was the German Lebkuchen cookie. And these were just a gingerbread cookie. Hmm. And when German immigrants, as well as other European immigrants, came to America at the turn of the century, they brought with them all of these wonderful cookie recipes, and they also brought with them cookie cutters. Cookie cutters in the shapes of St. Nicholas and stars and different kind of molds that were for decorative Christmas cookies. So these were introduced to American home bakers who started making these special Christmas cookies.
There are other crazy baking ladies other than you and your mother.
People
who start baking cookies months in advance. When do you start?
We don't do that because we never really preferred to freeze cookies, so we usually started about a week prior to the holiday.
You just take a week off from work and stay home and bake cookies.
Exactly.
What is your favorite Christmas cookie?
I think I'll have to go with chocolate-dipped macaroons.
For which we have a recipe.
Yes, and I do have the recipe for it. They are utterly addictive, and they are so simple to make, Bonnie. You can whip up a batch of macaroons in just a few minutes. And when you bake them, they're all crunchy on the outside, and then they're soft and sticky and chewy on the inside. And I like to dip mine in some good quality chocolate, and they are just heavenly.
Let me just ask you, does anybody give you cookies as a gift?
No, I don't think I've ever gotten cookies as a gift.
Well, Susan, I really appreciate this, and thank you so much, and have a wonderful holiday.
Thank you. Same to you, Bonnie.
That was freelance writer Susan Russo. Hanukkah and Christmas are the same week this year. Joan Nathan, an expert on Jewish cooking and author of many books on the subject, joined NPR's Scott Simon in 2004 to talk about the foods of Hanukkah.
Hanukkah and latkes go together.
Right.
But Hanukkah's more than latkes, isn't it?
It's more than latkes. Potatoes are New World. They came to the Old World, 18th century. I'm interested in what was before.
You've brought in something. It's in the pan in front of us. This beautifully browned...
It's called a pashti da. Pashti da really means anything in a casserole. This is something you would use for leftovers.
Leftover noodles.
And these were homemade noodles, of course. And then you would mix them with sautéed onions and a little bit of egg, and then you would fry them. But the egg would hold the noodles together.
Mmm.
It's sort of comfort food, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely.
Because there's a lot of oil, and then you fry them in oil, that would have been the significance of having oil for Hanukkah.
I have to ask you about another traditional Hanukkah dish.
Yes.
The jelly donut.
The jelly donut, I believe, is the only true Israeli dish. It's called sufganiyot. When the state of Israel was created in 1948, they wanted to have something for Hanukkah. And so they went to history, which they found sufgan means sponge. They also went to the Greeks, who had loukoumades, which were the oldest dessert known to mankind, which was a donut. So they thought, oh, good, well, this would be something that we should have in modern Israel. And they knew that Jews that came from Austria liked jelly donuts. So they combined them together. And now everybody in Israel eats these jelly donuts for Hanukkah.
Tell us about some of the other things on this plate.
Okay, well, these are cookies. They're called mandelbrot. It's a butter and egg dough. you roll it out like a strudel. Then you fill it with either poppy seed filling or apricot filling or cocoa and sugar filling. Then you roll it up. Then after you bake it, you cut it the way you would cut a biscotti.
So this is a poppy seed mandelbrot, huh?
Right.
No, that's good. No. It has a kind of sweetness, and yet it's a little bit more acidic. It's not chocolate.
Right.
It's kind of got a cleaner kind of sweetness.
Right.
It's a nice contrast. Before we go, we talked obviously about latkes, but in the end, a lot of people just want to know, how do you prevent them from being molten, oil-soaked wrecks?
Okay, well, one of the things that I do is, first of all, have them very cold.
Shredded potatoes in cold water.
Yeah, and then I put them in a towel just to really get rid of as much water as I can.
Squeeze it out.
Yeah, and then I add potato starch, a little bit of potato starch, and just put maybe a little bit of onion and a little egg, and then I don't put anything else in it, but I do it quickly, and I fry them.
What kind of oil?
Well, I use regular vegetable oil, and I don't refrigerate them. Just drain them, and then I crisp them up in the oven.
And if there's one Hanukkah dish that people should have on their table, what would you recommend?
Besides potato pancake?
Yeah.
I think brisket. I like a good brisket at Hanukkah.
But where's the oil in that?
No, it just goes well with potato pancakes. Who cares?
Oh, all right. Joan, nice talking to you.
It was great talking to you, Scott.
Joan Nathan's cookbook, Jewish Holiday Cooking, incorporates recipes from her book, The Jewish Holiday Kitchen. You want to read the recipes for what we just scarfed down, you can come to our website, npr.org. Laila Tov on Hanukkah.
Wow, Laila Tov.
And it's one for Moses on the mount. Happy, joyous Hanukkah. Two for the mother and a father. Love on a happy, joyous Hanukkah. Eight of the nights of Hanukkah. Happy, joyous Hanukkah. Eight of the days and eight of the nights. Happy, joyous Hanukkah.
Thanks for listening to today's Kitchen Window, NPR's food podcast. Go to our website, npr.org/kitchenwindow, for more food stories and lots of recipes for the holidays and any time of year. Join us next time. I'm Bonnie Wolf.
It's a happy, joyous Hanukkah, and four for the Hebrew children. Happy, joyous Hanukkah, eight of the nights of Hanukkah. Happy, joyous Hanukkah.